Cecina.
Welcome to Rock and Roll Tennis, the new tennis podcast with your host, Keith Fraser. Yes, that's me. And my psychic and former British number one, Mr. John Lloyd. So welcome to another edition of Rock and Roll Tennis. I'm here with my main man, the housewives heartthrob, the bronzed Adonis, Flossie as they call him, John Lloyd. John, how you doing?
Good, all good, thanks. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. Interesting that the French Open, or Roland Garros, as our friend Bernard, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, told us we couldn't say anymore, but I'm still going to call it the French Open. I find it mind-boggling, actually, that it's on in so many ways, but it looks like it's going
to
happen.
Well, we've got tons to talk about. It starts tomorrow. Hopefully this will go out tonight. By the way, John, you know, with all the nicknames that I'm sort of finding for you, I think a bit of homework for you between now and the next episode could be you could perhaps think of something for me. I don't know. It could be tongue-in-cheek. It could be a complete and utter Mickey take. I don't mind. I welcome it. But that's your homework. You've got to come up with some sort of nickname for me. I've never had a nickname before. Okay. So that's your mission.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, listen, French Open starts tomorrow in earnest. Wow. I mean, first of all, we interviewed the president of the French Tennis Federation the last time. I think both of us are in agreement. What is all that nonsense about calling it Roland Garros and not the French Open? I mean, what's all that about? What do you think of that?
I think it's nonsense. I think that's just, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's like, come on, it's the French Open. That's what it always has been. And it always will be. You can say Roland Garros as much as you want, but it is the French Open. That's what we all know it as. And that's what the public know it as. And you're trying to make your Grand Slam a brand name, like Wimbledon and the US Open. It's the French Open, not Roland Garros. Why would you try and sort of change that in the public's mind?
Well,
it doesn't work.
Here's my thinking behind this, John. Tell me what you think. We all know about the rivalry between the French and the Brits. Ours is not called the British Open. Ours is called Wimbledon. The area of Wimbledon, right. SW19. Do you think that they're kind of thinking, oh, we want something special for us? If the Brits can call theirs Wimbledon, why can't we call our tournament Roland Garros? I can only think it's a little bit of sort of envy, jealousy of the Brits, that old rivalry between the French and the Brits. Has it got to be something between them? No?
It could be. It could be. Well, there's certainly... Well, let's face it, there's rivalries between all the Grand Slams anyway. I mean, they're each trying to outdo each other. And I do think the French Open has been feeling a little bit left out in the last few years because it's fallen behind the pack. And it certainly was, right until, a few years back, would have been counted above the Australian Open in terms of prestige, just because of its history and so on and so on. But with the lack of facilities that's happened at the French Open until finally they've got a roof, it's fallen down the pecking order in terms of certainly the players enjoying the slams. And I think just in what it brings to the table, the French Open has been the weakest of the four for a while now. And I think, the slams, they're very competitive. And I think, just trying to name it Roland Garros is trying to make it, I don't know, something more special. But
I call it, don't you? And obviously this is a family show. Sorry if you're listening, Bernard. I think it's anal, if to be perfectly honest with you. I just think it's nonsense. And the interesting thing is only a few years ago, or in the last few years, they were thinking of moving it from Roland Garros. So what would they have called it then? Yeah. I don't know. What would they have called it? Gardenor or something like that? I mean, do me a favour. It is in my eyes, and I'm sure most fans, I think, if they're trying to rebrand it, it's going to take them a good few years before people get the French Open name out of their mind. And he can give me the yellow card or even the red card. They are, even the French are going to be calling it the French Open. Make no mistake about that. And that is my opinion. We share the same opinion there. It was very nice of him to come on, and obviously I was grateful. But it, to me, it's the French Open, and to you, it always will be. But I love the tournament. I love the tennis. And I know for you, in terms of as a spectacle, it's not your favourite. But did you catch any of Rome, by the way? Because that's really the only sort of ATP 1000 pre-season there was. Did you catch any of that, John?
I did, yeah. I watched it. It was, the Italian Open was always a great tournament. I mean, obviously it's not a Grand Slam, but one of the most beautiful venues that you could ever play tennis in. And, I loved it there. Again, clay was never my favourite surface. I got to the quarterfinals there one year, which wasn't too bad, but I always loved playing there. There was something, there was a special sort of feeling that you got when you turned up there and you saw those sort of statues all around the place and the Italian fans. I actually, having said that, I played Davis Cup in Italy and we played in Rome. And that was, I'll never forget that match when we played Adriano Panatta and Corrado Baratutti. Were a formidable team, especially away from home, and we lost. And I do remember getting pelted by coins being thrown from the crowd. I actually made quite a bit of money during the 3 days of the tie, picking up loose cash. But it was a tough place to play in Davis Cup when you were an away team there. The fans were ferocious, but I always liked them. The French Open was, to me, it's a tough Grand Slam to win. I mean, it's five sets on clay and all that. So I just didn't find it the most friendly of slams in terms of the conditions, the organisers. I think things have changed. And I think all these tournaments, listen, Wimbledon wasn't the most friendliest place to the players for many, many years, a sort of a real sort of upper class feeling of Wimbledon when you played. It was almost like as a player, you felt like you were invited to play your matches. And then as soon as you lost, get the hell out of our grounds and you're not welcome. And the French Open was kind of a little bit like that. The Australian Open, the US Open, I think were always more sort of friendly slams out of the four. The French Open, there are obviously some wonderful things about it, and being in Paris isn't too bad a place to be, that's for sure. But was it just a difficult place in the grounds to get in and out of? It's not as well organised, I don't think, as the other slams. And I never found the stadium court, was as good a viewing spectacle as some of the other slams. But it's still one of the four slams. It's a major, and I can't believe it's on, and I'm looking forward to watching it. It won't be the same. I think when we did our broadcast with the director at that stage, they were talking about 11,500 spectators a day, and then it went down to 5,000, and now I believe it's down to 1,000 being allowed in the ground, which
is sad.
And I presume they're talking about 1,000 in the whole place. So how many are going to be allowed into the actual stadium? It's going to still be like a ghost arena, just like the US Open was. But hey, it is what it is at the moment. You've just got to get on with it. And there's a lot of exciting things happening. I mean, let's face it, we've got Rafael Nadal could possibly make history by winning it. He's already made history by how many times he's won it, but he could catch Roger Federer. Serena Williams could catch Margaret Court. I mean, there's all these possibilities going into the French Open, so it's going to be more exciting than ever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you look at the US Open, there was a lot of young guns coming through. Obviously, Djokovic got disqualified. But people seem to think, oh, well, Djokovic would have won it easily. Well, I don't think that is necessarily the case. Dominic Thiem could well have beaten him in the Australian Open final. There's no reason to think that he couldn't have beaten him in the US Open final. And although, having said that, coming onto the clay court, Nadal lost to Schwartzman, and then Djokovic sort of cast him aside in the final. I mean, going forward, there seems to be, I think, we are, even despite the dominance of Djokovic, I think we are now seeing the transition of the next gen. Shapovalov, although I thought he could have got to the final of the US, he should have beaten Batista Agut in the quarters, and he didn't. But in Rome, he seemed to be mixing it up tactically, coming in a lot. Obviously, we talked about doubles. He seems to be coming to the net a lot more, probably based on the fact, as you always said, he's playing more doubles, one of the few singles players that does. And the team has already been in two French Open finals. I said to you some weeks ago, what odds would you give me if Djokovic or Nadal win neither of the remaining slams? And you said, well, those odds would be long. I think there is a chance that can happen.
I do agree with you now. I think Djokovic, well, obviously he was odds-on favourite until he had his meltdown at the US Open. And Nadal would have been odds-on favourite if the French Open was in its normal time period in the calendar. But now it's been shifted. The weather conditions look for certainly quite a few days to be very cold, damp conditions. I saw Nadal today also complaining about the different tennis balls that they're using. They have been using the Babolat, which is a faster ball that goes through the air quicker. And now they're going and using the Wilson ball. So basically everything is going on is slowing the conditions down. And that is not good for Rafael Nadal. He's already talking himself out of it in some ways. He's saying, listen, you know, it is what it is. I'll get on with it. But the signs are not good. No. I actually don't think he's going to win the French Open.
I don't think so. Either.
I think it will come out of team unless he has a reaction to winning his first Grand Slam. You never know what can happen after winning a first Grand Slam. We've seen meltdowns from players. I don't think it will affect him, actually. I think it will affect him in a positive way. But there are players that, you know, they win a slam, and particularly in this case where there hasn't been much time to turn around and he's got another slam, you know, you've reached sort of a pinnacle in your career. You've won a slam and it takes a while to sink in. And then obviously, you know, the phones are ringing, the endorsements are going. All of a sudden, you know, you're an even hotter commodity than he already was, a team. And it's sometimes tough to sort of come back down to earth, particularly when you've only had a couple of weeks to do so. Mm. Having said that, I think he's got the sort of personality that will actually want more and won't be satisfied with what's happened. And he'll now, after he's won that first slam, and he certainly was nervous in the final, but he's got it now. So I don't think we'll see that sort of performance again from him if he were to get to a final. I don't see him going out there and starting the first two sets like he was petrified as he did in the final against Zverev. That I think is over. He's won his first slam. And for me, I think he's got a great shot of winning another slam after 2 weeks. But I actually switch my favourite now is Novak Djokovic.
Yeah.
I think the conditions will help him. I don't think it will be a detriment to his game like it is to Nadal. I think he's obviously he's a winner. What happened at the US Open will have affected him badly. It would have hurt him badly. And I think this is a way for him to sort of feel that, you know, I'm going to come back. You know, it's a tougher occasion for him winning on the clay, but he's, you know, he's talking about Nadal and he senses, I think, that these conditions are going to be rough for Nadal. And I think that after that US Open, I think that he'll be, will be the favourite.
Well, I think he's a clear favourite. I think I just don't think Nadal's going to do it. And I'll tell you what, if you look at his draw, he's got to go through Zverev and team before he even meets Djokovic in the final. I don't think he's going to do it. I think also, there's an old adage, never put all your eggs in one basket. You've got it spot on, as you would, John, being the jewel in the BBC's crown in the tennis commentary box. But you got it spot on, mate. You said ages ago, you would put your money on Nadal not even playing the US and putting his chips on the French. I think that might work against him, actually. He lost to Schwartzman. Schwartzman is a very good player, but he shouldn't be beating Nadal, really. Who would? I think that Thiem and Djokovic are the clear favourites. And the other thing that you didn't mention about Thiem, which I think is interesting, yes, he was nervous in that final, but I think the one thing about him is because people are saying, oh, well, Djokovic wasn't there, he got disqualified, Nadal wasn't there, he didn't play, etc. I think he'll be hungry to prove this was no one-off. And I think if he can, he's got a hard first round, he's got Cilic in the first round, that's not easy, but you'd expect him to come through it. Yeah, but I think I think that will be in his mindset. He'll probably be thinking, I want to go and show people I am a true Grand Slam winner. And so those two, to me, are clear favourites. And the other young guns coming through, Shapovalov's looking good, but I don't think he'll win it. Rublev, I think, is good, but I don't think he'll win it. The only other of the young guns, I think, who I can see coming through would be, even though he hasn't had a great year, is Tsitsipas.
Yeah, he's been sort of a bit up and down. I'm not convinced he's going to have a good French Open. I actually think Medvedev could be the other danger man. I think the conditions... he's not bad on clay, and I think the conditions not being, being a bit slower, he's tough to beat over five sets. Mm. I think he might have a good French Open as well. I do believe, as you, I think it will come from the Djokovic Thiem. One of those two players, I think, will come through. Listen, you can't write off Rafa, obviously, and if anybody can play in the conditions he doesn't like and still turn it back is Rafa. But to me, not playing any of those tournaments and just playing the Italian Open, he looked very rusty. And even though he's been playing 4 or 5 hours a day in Spain and getting ready, the conditions where he was in Spain are a lot different than they're going to be at French Open. And the lack of match play looked like it caught up to him in the Italian Open. And I'm not sure he's going to have enough time to get it back for the French Open, not to win it.
Well, I tell you what, John, I mean, obviously, you'd have to argue for him being the greatest ever clay court player. But if he does win this French Open, then there is no argument, because he would be coming through the hardships of the conditions of the ball, the time of year, the lack of practice. If he wins this French Open, no argument anymore. Not that there is much one left, but there's just no argument. But tell me, I mean, there's one guy, I don't know if you got to see him. I thought he looked like a real star for the future. I don't know if you got a chance to see him. Is Lorenzo Musetti. He beat Nishikori.
Didn't get a chance to see him.
Well, if you get a chance to see him, he looks like a real force for the future. Not really yet, but he looks good. But that was in Rome. And, of course, looking at the draw, just wanted to mention, we got some very appetising first-round matches, and one involving a certain Andy Murray playing for Rinka.
Yeah, I mean, that was... that's a rough draw. I mean, for both of them, to tell you the truth, I'm not so sure the conditions are going to be very nice for Andy Murray going up against Vavrinka, because Vavrinka, he can hit through any court. I mean, Vavrinka could hit through sand, literally, be on the beach and he could hit the ball through it, because he's just that heavy sort of player. And I think in these heavy conditions, over best of five sets, it's going to be a tough match for Andy to come through that. He had a very good US Open, Andy. First round was a great effort to come through. Second round got crushed, and I think that was a combination of his opponent played brilliantly, but I think it was a reaction. I can't see him beating Stan the Man, who's not playing the way he did a few years ago at the moment, but best of five on clay, heavy conditions. I think it's a rough one for Andy. If he can come through that one, it could be another 4 or 5 hour match, that one. Yeah. And I tell you, we were talking about it with the French with Daniel the other week. They could be playing till 3-4 o'clock in the morning with these weather conditions. I don't know how they're going to catch up unless they don't play till late. They've got 9 lit courts and best of five sets in these conditions. These matches could go on forever. They could be playing, and if they get rainy days, which it will happen, they could be playing till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be cold. The poor spectators who are going to be there are going to have to be wrapped up pretty well, I think.
Yeah, well, I've been at Queen's Club in June when I've been absolutely freezing cold. So I can't imagine what it's going to be like in Paris at this time of year. There's a few other good first-round matches, actually. You've got Sinner against Goffin is an interesting one. Yannick Sinner is obviously a young up-and-coming player. Team Cilic, Schwartzman against Kecmanovic. Now, Kecmanovic is a good young
player.
Very good player. Yeah, and he got to the final recently. I don't know where it was. Can't remember where it was, but he got to a final recently. He's a very good young player. You've got Query against Rublev, another one.
Yeah.
Shapovalov against Gilles Simon.
There's some very appetizing matches. I mean, it's in some ways, I mean, the draw is, you look at it and you go through the sections and it's rough. It really is rough. And I mean, it's a pity Roger Federer's not there, but I mean, and Nick Kyrgios, but it's still, the draw is unbelievably tough and deep. And you look at it and it's like, wow, there's going to be some heck of a good matches here. And it's not an easy one to predict. In the last few years, it's been pretty easy. It's like, who's going to play Nadal in the final? But I think this year, it's going to be a difficult one.
Well, you said that the US Open is the most open we've seen in years. From what you're saying, you think the French Open will be one of the most open in years as well?
I think so. Yeah. I absolutely think so. And the men's wide open, and the women's is so wide open there. There's 12... 15 women, I think, could win it there.
Who do you fancy?
Absolutely. Well, I would go with Halep just because, she's so solid. Again, I've been listening to her talk about the conditions, and she's not too happy with the conditions being as heavy and slow. But, she's just such a winner. Yeah. I mean, the one I quite like, Svitolina, I think she's dangerous. But there's just such a big group there. Serena is going to be very interesting. I don't see her winning the French Open, although at the US Open there were signs that she was coming back to where we think she has the game to, where in the last couple of years has been, you've shown bits and pieces of it. But I thought the US Open she played well, particularly if she could somehow continue the play that she did in the first set when she beat... she won the first set against Azarenka. I thought that was a good a first set as I've seen her, or good a set I've seen her play in years. Unfortunately, she couldn't keep it up and then fell back and lost the last two sets. But she hasn't had such a big gap. There's only been a couple of weeks, which is good. She's going to be dangerous as well. I don't see her winning it.
It's not her favourite slam, is it, the French?
Not her favourite slam. I mean, but you can't count her out. It's a wide group. Azarenka was brilliant at the US Open and really should have won it. It's a pity Osaka's not going to be here, unfortunately, with injury. But Azarenka was absolutely brilliant, and she's back now in the world stage and she's back where she belongs. I didn't think she would get back to this level, but she has. She's got to fancy her chances. She's been in the semi-finals there once. It's not her favourite slam in singles, but no reason why she won't fancy her chances too. I mean, it's a wide open draw in the women's.
I think it's wide open, apart from one or two guys we mentioned in the men's as well. I think it's going to be a great tournament for a lot of reasons. Interesting to watch. There's one match that sort of comes out at me, potential third round clash, and he's been really performing well. Is Casper Ruud against Dominic Thiem, potential third round, I think. Now, Casper Ruud, I think he was in the semi-final in Rome, I think. What do you think? Did you get a chance to see him?
Yeah, he's just a solid all-round player. But on clay, he is very tough on clay. That, if they both get through, that will be a nasty match. Mm. I mean, that one, he's someone that you really would like to avoid. He's very fit. And it doesn't give any points away. He's in your face the whole time. He, a difficult person to break down. He is going to be rough. That I like the look of that match as well. If they both get there, there's a lot of good matchups coming up in this draw. Hasn't been You know, the Brits have got a few tough draws here and there, you know, some interesting ones. But I saw in the women's, Johanna Konta, you know, got rid of her coach, which was a bit of a strange time for that to happen right before, again, before a Grand Slam. Not the best time for it to happen. And she left parted ways with Thomas Hogsegg, who's a very good coach. She's had a great record. Who knows? They just didn't gel, apparently. But so she'll be going to the French Open, presumably, without a full-time coach, probably an advisor of some sort that will be helping her. But she could have a decent run, but I don't see her. I don't see her winning it.
It's a shame. Can't see it. I'd love to see her just win one slam. I think, but I think she's got, as we've discussed before, again, I think she's got to blow hot throughout the tournament because, as you said, there's no, she doesn't have a much of a B game. You know, when things are going against her, she's not smoking the winners. And I just think for her to win a slam, she's got to be hot the whole tournament.
Yeah, seven matches. It's rough. Yeah. Seven matches. I mean, it is rough. That's why the slams are so tough. And yeah, I mean, it just, but again, you know, I look at that draw in the women's and you look at it and you really, it's so difficult to see who's going to come through there.
What about Muguruza?
It's a great pity. Well, Muguruza was one I was thinking about. Again, difficult to predict with her. She's one of those players that you really don't know who's going to show up. Mm. But potential, no question about it, she could go all the way through. I mean, she's certainly good enough. I'm really sad that Ash Barty's not here because, you know, I love watching her play. To me, she's... you know, she's just joyful to watch on court. And it's a great pity that we've missed her for the last two slams. And Andreescu is also out, which was a great pity as well. Another player that I'm a big admirer of. So the women's draw, a bit disappointing with a couple of those players not being there. But it'll still be interesting. And, you know, it's going to be a great Grand Slam, I think. I just hope that, you know, everybody gets together and we have a safe French Open. There's already been a bit of drama with one of the players in the qualifying, and the coach got tested positive. So once again, they're going through all these trying to keep things, you know, really compact and in the hotels, and no one's straying out and all this sort of stuff. So hopefully it'll go well and it'll be successful and very safe.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to it. Listen, for me, there's nothing like a Grand Slam. Nothing like... And I enjoy the early rounds because I like to look out, as we've done tonight, look out for those sort of matches that... Well, that could be an interesting one. That could be a shock. We've got to put each other on the line now. 2020 men's and women's champion.
I'm going to go with Novak Djokovic and I'm going to go with Halep in the women's.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to agree with you, I think. But I think I'm going to have to stick with what I said some weeks ago, or said to you last week. It's hard for me to go against Novak, but I'm going to go with Thiem again in the men's, and like you, Halep in the women's, which is a little bit boring, really. Yeah. And I think the one outside
it is boring.
Yeah, I think the two outsiders I would look for are people like Casper Ruud, who could spoil Thiem's tournament, and Tsitsipas. But listen, we've gone for pretty sort of safe bets. Mine's a little bit more sort of risque than yours. We'll just have to see. Listen, I'm going to look forward to it. I think we've got a nice guest on next week. Been great chatting to you as always, John. Full of wisdom, full of tennis knowledge. You're the man in the know. And I'm just here on the show, just filling in the numbers. But there you go. Listen, John, we'll do this all again next week, yeah?
Take care. We certainly will.
Please remember to press that subscribe button and share with all your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter, RNR_tennis, and of course on Instagram, rock'n'roll_tennis. And please leave us a review. We'd love to hear your comments. We will, of course, see you next week as always. Thanks so much again.